Please turn to 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 4. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. So David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please, let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me." So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Turn with me to Psalm 61 and 2. And listen to what David said in those verses. "Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Do you ever feel overwhelmed by life? We all do from time to time. This text today finds David in one of those times. He's in a dark, damp, dreary, depressing cave. He's experienced the loss of everything and everyone that he has leaned on in his life. He's alone. He's defeated. And he's discouraged. David is in one of the cave experiences of life. What David did not see at the time, but soon came to understand, was the fact that God was behind it all and in control of it all. David did not know it at the time, but God was going to use his time in the cave to help David grow stronger in the Lord. The day would soon come when David would emerge from that cave far stronger in the Lord than he was when he entered that time in his life. There's times when we too find ourselves in one of life's cave experiences. We think all of our help and strength is gone. We feel alone, discouraged, and deserted. Am I talking to you? Have you ever been there? Sure you have. In fact, some are there right now. Some of you listening today are there right now. Well, like David, when we are dwelling in one of the caves of life, we often fail to see the hand of God and what we're facing. But I would remind you today that just as surely as God is behind all the blessings of life, he is also behind all the burdens as well. Romans 8, 28 and 29 is still true. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Brothers and sisters, he's using everything that takes place in your life to conform you into the image of his Son. He's using every cave experience of your life, every sad thing, every bitter pill, every cross, every tear, every heartache, every pain during the cave experiences of your life. This passage before us contains blessings that we need to consider. We are to learn from the cave experiences of life, and we will come out of them much stronger than when we entered them. We have to face the reality of sorrow, brothers and sisters, in this world. David has been brought to the absolute bottom of life. He's hurting, he's broken, and he's defeated. The crown prince of Israel is living in a cave. He does not rest his head on a sumptuous bed in the palace, but on the rocks of a cave. He no longer sleeps in the bed of the princess, but he seeks rest in the damp darkness of a forsaken cave. He does not find comfort in the house of a friend, but he fights loneliness in a deserted, dirty cave. There are times like that ordained for each of us as well. We should not expect to get through this life untouched and unaffected by hardship and sorrow. In fact, the Bible is perfectly clear about this matter. Job 14:1 tells us, "Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." Job 5:7 tells us, "Yet man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward." Man is born for trouble, brothers and sisters. And just because you become a child of God, that does not change the fact that men and women are born to trouble. But the difference is now that you're regenerated is God takes all of that sorrow and suffering and pain and heartache and uses it for his glory and for your growth. Sorrow, pain, heartache. Just as the sorrows were for David, they are part of our earthly experience also. God allowed David to come to this cave. As we learned in our last study, it was so that David might learn not to lean on the props of family and friends and finances and fame or the flesh or the future. David was taught through his sufferings to wholly lean upon the Lord. You see, God was not trying to destroy David. He was not trying to discipline David. God was attempting to develop David into the man of God that the Lord wanted him to become. You have to realize that, brothers and sisters. We far too often start blaming God that he is trying to destroy us. He's trying to discipline us. But many times, all he's trying to do is develop us into the image of his son. He's trying to develop us, even as he did to David, the same as true in our lives. He wants to teach us to look to him alone. And the Lord uses the hardships of life to develop us. God does not do it to break us. He does it to build us up. However, times of breaking up and tearing down often come before the times of building up. He must break up. He must tear down before he builds up. Turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12:5-13. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons." Notice, God's calling you sons and daughters for that matter. "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves." See, he loves. "He chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." Once again, he's reminding you, you're a son, a daughter. "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" Every one of us that is a father understands about chastening. "But if you are without chastening, of which you have all become partakers, then you are illegitimate and you're not sons." That proves your sonship, brothers and sisters, the fact that God does chasten you. "Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more be readily in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us, it seemed best to them, but he knows for our profit. God does it for our profit, so that whenever you see the word that, it's a purpose clause, a purpose word, what is it there for, what does it produce? So that the chastening is so that for this purpose that we may be partakers of his holiness. Brothers and sisters, he's preparing us for holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. God's telling you, it is painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been, notice, trained by it. The cave experiences of life, brothers and sisters, are to train us up. The pain, the heartache, the sorrows, the suffering, the cave experiences of life are all there to produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. It yields, brothers and sisters, the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And if we're being conformed into the image of his Son, who in the Old Testament was called the Son of Righteousness, now we're sons of God. Do you not think that God is going to produce the fruit of righteousness in your life and in my life? The chastening, the pain, the heartache, the suffering, the sorrows is all to bring forth righteousness, the fruit of righteousness in our lives. As hard as it may be to understand and to bear, God uses the times of affliction, the times of suffering, the times of pain in our lives to train us to become more like his darling Son, Jesus Christ. God is using all of the pain and all of the heartache to conform us into that image. David's been cut off from his family, from his friends, from his followers. He's in a place that prevents fellowship with others. David's brought to the place where he had nothing and no one but the Lord God. The cave was a place of separation. And as you'll see in the text, eventually he brings the people. We often find ourselves in the caves of life. God will bring us to the place where we're alone with him, shut off from the rest of the world. We fear those times, but they often precede the times of God's greatest blessings in our lives. Brothers and sisters, never forget, more flowers grow in the valley than on the mountaintop. David alone in the cave, Jacob alone in his tent, Elijah alone by the brook, Job alone, Moses alone on the backside of the mountain, Jesus alone in the agony of Gethsemane and Calvary. Each of these experienced their greatest triumphs after the time of being shut up and shut off by the Lord. You see, there are lessons that are learned in the dark that cannot be learned in the light. There are truths that can only be understood by those who are cut off and shut up with the Lord. And during this time of being cut up and shut up and cut off and shut off with the Lord, may you rest in him totally and completely. May you understand that this is a blessed time of instruction and growth. You see, we may not like it, and we may not understand it, but when the Lord has brought you to a place where you have no one and nothing but him, he has done you a tremendous favor. Why is that, Bill? Because he's more than sufficient He is more than enough, and he has promised you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And he is a faithful friend and a very present help in trouble. May these words comfort you in the caves of life. For brothers and sisters, we're all in the cave at different times of our life. There's mountaintop experiences and there's valley experiences. Some day you're basking in the sunshine, and other days you're in the dark, damp caves of life. May the Lord use those times mightily in your life. And may you understand that they are not a curse from the Lord, but they are a blessing from the Lord. For the Lord trains up all of his children so that the fruit of righteousness would be produced in their life. And my friend, if you would be listening to this today, this message, and you're not a child of God, you're not a son of God, you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of your sins, you have never come to Christ, the scripture would command you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Whosoever will, come to him, and he will in no wise cast you out. If you've never come to Christ, come to Christ today.